With Deadly gone and the elevator beginning to accelerate more rapidly, you start to become nervous. You look up at the elevator's old-timey floor indicator and realize that the numbers are a mishmash of symbols that are completely foreign to you. It starts to shake slightly, getting faster and faster, traveling further down until finally, it stops. The doors ping and open slowly. A dim violet light emanates from the other side. You step through and find yourself in a large hall supported by massive stone pillars. The walls and floor are a glassy black stone that looks like the surface of a still lake in the dead of night. The room is lit by a dozen or so torches with flames of blazing purple, and there are a plethora of statues and obelisks dotted throughout. Your own image is reflected in the walls, and you see from this that your attire has changed once again. Your lower half is clad in a long white cotton loincloth, hanging down in the front and back, but exposing the sides of your legs. On your torso, the same white cloth clings over one shoulder, barely covering your breasts, leaving your midriff exposed. Your wrists and ankles are now brandishing immaculate gold bands, and on your head is a gorgeous purple and gold headdress. The collar and silver key seem to be gone, but strangely, you can still feel the pressure of the collar against your neck. You reach up to touch the phantom sensation, and an opaque phantom version of the collar becomes visible in little wisps of mist, but when you remove your hand, it disappears. A sound coming from the nearby passage catches your ear. You know that it must be your next destination. Resolving to get it over with, you make your way towards it. You travel down the hall to a large set of double doors, made up from the same stone as the walls and floor. It is imbued across every inch with symbols similar to the hieroglyphs you saw in the elevator. There is no handle, but you can tell that the sound is coming from within. You look around in confusion when suddenly, the doors begin to groan deeply as they open. You are drawn inside. The interior is lit with the soft glow of orange torches arranged in a circle. In the center of the circle is the most beautiful woman you have ever laid eyes on. She has a strange way about her. She seems familiar, yet foreign at the same time. Her features seem to be in flux. As a baseline, she is tall, leggy, curvy, and dark-skinned. Her hair hangs down in long black braids, which frame a sharp face with prominent cheekbones. She has a proud and powerful look to her. By far, her most captivating feature is her eyes. They are soft, violet, and appear almost luminescent against the dark backdrop of the room. She is wearing a strange-looking dress. It has a very high-fashion look to it. It matches the room, shiny and black, almost metallic-looking. It spiders across her body in jagged spiny scales with skin-tight asymmetrical patterns. You wonder if maybe you've seen her before, on TV or perhaps Instagram.
At last, come, child.
She extends a beautifully manicured hand. Her presence is strangely comforting, and you find yourself drawn into her. She looks you up and down and smiles warmly.
You look stunning. I hope you are prepared. This will prove to be your most difficult challenge yet.
She pauses, as if listening to something.
Yes, I know that they are growing impatient. Do you think I am not aware of a dozen supernovas pointed angrily in my direction? Let them wait. It's not as if they can view a performance like this elsewhere. Very well, if you insist, my love.
Without warning, she pulls you in close. Your breathing becomes shallow as you feel her body press against yours. You inhale her scent, a warm, nutty, and mildly floral fragrance with an aquatic undertone. You watch as her pupils dart back and forth. Her hand glides along your cheek, tucking your hair behind your ear. She leans in and kisses you softly. Her lips taste of pomegranate and honey. You begin to feel a strange feeling of something sliding along your midsection. It creeps around your waist, encircling you before crawling up between yours and the woman's breasts. You pull away in terror and are face to face with a gigantic cobra, its hood flared out broadly. You are afraid to look away. Its tongue flicks lightly over your face and neck, smelling you. You are hypnotized by the massive violet eyes, eyes which match the exact shade of the woman's. Pupil to pupil, you stay locked for several seconds that seem to last eons. You barely have time to register the white, gaping maw before it is on you. You feel the needle-like teeth pierce your neck and sink in deeply.
Do not be afraid, child. I assure you, this is a kindness.
The serpent's fangs withdraw from your neck. Your limbs become light and airy as a feeling of euphoria spreads within you. You feel hard coils gripping you around each of your extremities, hoisting you into the air. Limbs akimbo, they suspend you in the center of the ring. You look to your wrists and see smooth, coal-black tendrils wrapped around you, protruding from the darkness. You look back to the cobra and realize its impossible length is originating from the darkness as well. The snake locks eyes with you once again, bobbing slightly.
This one is quite unique.
Inexplicably, you know that the voice is coming from the creature, despite the only movement from its mouth being its flicking tongue.
I agree.
We have been waiting for you, child. I am your race.
And I am known as the Snake Charmer.
Phew. The ringmaster was right to place his faith in you. My apologies for the bites.
This is the only way for Uraeus to establish a telepathic connection with you, despite his innumerable powers. Speech is not one of them.
The cobra turns towards the snake charmer.
Our audience awaits, my love.
Indeed. Prepare yourself, child.
The snake charmer waves her hand and a swirling of dark purple mist conjures a dozen or so figures as tall as buildings, just on the edge of the light. They are each sitting in large stone thrones and shrouded in flowing black velvet robes.
Welcome, my lords. Thank you for your patience. Now, let us begin.
In front of the figures, strange incandescent symbols appear in various colors. Each appears to be a different language. They flash rapidly in front of each figure in turn, almost as if in conversation. Your eyes dart, attempting to find some pattern or reason, when you notice that the serpent has perched atop your shoulder.
They're placing bids. The highest bidder gets to decide how we proceed. I hope for your sake. That one is outbid. He's got quite the nasty streak. One might say he's infamous for his cruelty.
He motions towards one of the figures. You notice that though they are hard to distinguish, this one looks particularly thin and gangly, almost as if a skeleton is the only thing beneath the robes. You notice that some of the figures have ceased the flashing of their symbols, indicating that they must have dropped from the bidding. Now there are only three left, a massive figure whose symbols are a sharp yellow, one with pale blue, and the thin figure indicated by Uraeus, whose symbols are an ominous shade of green. The strobing symbols decrease in frequency and the blue figure drops out. Now, the flashes between the yellow and green figures blast back and forth aggressively. The green figure flashes one last time with a blinding luminosity, and there is a long, tense pause. The snake charmer's head swivels back towards the figure with the yellow symbols. You notice the thin figure cross his arms and sit back. Even being completely shrouded, You recognize this cocky posturing. The snake charmer raises her hand slowly to the thin figure to indicate victory, when suddenly the yellow symbols blaze forth once again. The cocky demeanor of the thin figure vanishes, and you are able to read immense rage through the shroud.
A very generous bid. It appears we have our victor.
Lucky you. This could have gone much worse. Let's hope your champion's pocket remains deep throughout.
From out of the darkness, on either side of you, two more tentacles appear and begin to crawl their way up your body, snaking around your legs slowly and brushing against your inner thighs. They coil up, working their way under your thin cloth top and spiraling around your breasts, kneading them with every binding movement.
Exquisite. So supple. And what's this? Your nipples seem to be responding quite nicely. Yes, child.
As the tips of the tentacles flit back and forth over your nipples, more of them seem to creep in under your top. You begin to feel a growing pressure, and then suddenly, the fabric gives way. The cool air causes goose pimples to rise on your skin, and your nipples stiffen further.
Yes, quite nice.
Let us begin the second bidding.
The second bidding begins and transpires similarly to the first. Once again, the thin figure is among the final two, but is outbid by a figure with red symbols.
A fine choice.
Ooh, another lucky break.
The snake charmer approaches you. You are tilted back and hoisted higher into the air until your pussy is level with the snake charmer's head. A new tentacle appears and makes its way to your nether region, pulling the thin fabric covering your pussy to the side. The snake charmer moves in close, and as she speaks, you can feel her breath on your dripping labia.
It appears she sees the merit of your charm as well, my darling.
Is that so?
Yes. This little lily is quite dewy.
The serpent's head creeps around to get a better view, hovering just over the snake charmer's shoulder.
Oh, yes. What a glorious sight, my love. A grand gift from our master, indeed.
She tastes so sweet and musky. Have a taste, my love.
The head moves forward, and you feel a light tickling across your clit and labia as the forked tongue flutters lightly over you. You are surprised by the apparent expertise of the creature as it teases you with the gentlest of touches.
Of course, but do not forget the task at hand, darling.
Yes, of course, silly me.
You feel the combination of their tongues perform a pas de deux across your lower parts. The sensation is so overwhelming that you almost fail to notice the arrival of a new tentacle grazing over the back of your neck. It circles loosely around your throat once, then extends out in front of you, pointing directly at your mouth. You stare slightly cross-eyed at the newest addition to the scene. It is significantly thicker than the others and much more phallic in appearance. There appears to be a slit at the tip with a translucent pearl of liquid glistening from it. It slowly moves forward and runs gently over your lips. Something in you causes you to prod it with your tongue. A wave of endorphins rush over you. The taste of this creature's secretion is one of the most heavenly flavors you've ever experienced. Your mouth opens slightly, inviting it in, and it slithers gently between your softly parted lips. It slides easily down your throat, deeper than any cock has ever managed, and begins pumping in and out.
I envy you so much, my darling. What a lovely sight it is to see her taking you in between those gorgeous lips of hers. Look, you can see her throat bulging. I bet she feels quite exquisite.
It's been a millennia since I've had a human with such a divine contour to her.
Take care not to be too quick, my love. It is time for the third bid.
Yes. It would be a shame to climax at such an early juncture.
Let this bidding begin.
The phallus retracts from your mouth and begins rubbing softly against your lips and cheeks. The flashing begins once again, this time with an increased urgency. Each time one of the other colors flares to life, the green flashes even brighter. It bursts out intensely, one final time, and all other bits cease.
Ooh, tough luck. That one really has it out for you.
We have a winner, Iraeus. Iraeus.
The snake charmer nods her head, and each of the tentacles forcibly tightens. The ones that had been gently kneading your breasts encircle them, squeezing them with immense pressure. The one at your mouth simultaneously shoots back down your throat and clamps down hard around it, cutting off your air supply and making you dizzy. Each time you begin to get close to passing out, it loosens and lets you recover before starting again. Meanwhile, half a dozen new tentacles, these ones thin and pointed, emerge swiftly from the darkness and begin lashing you from all angles. They pause. Suddenly, you feel one come down on each one of your tender breasts, directly on your nipples. They lash again and again as one of the thin tendrils begins rubbing at your sopping pussy.
A surprising reaction. This one seems to have an affinity for pain. Curious.
Indeed. Her arousal is quite palpable. Look at it trickle down over me, coating me.
Finally, the lashing at your breasts stops. Without warning, you feel a harsh crack upon your clit.
Oh, what is this? Do I detect an orgasm approaching?
She moves around behind your head and leans in close to whisper in your ear.
What a depraved little thing you are, child. Getting so close while my lover abuses you. Do you want my hands on you as well? With that, heighten your excitement.
Her hands slide down both sides of your shoulders, inching towards your breasts, lightly rolling your nipples between her thumb and forefinger. Then she pinches hard and twists.
Come for us, child. Show your appreciation for our generous guest. Show him how much you love his sadistic mind. Let your juices overflow in front of him. Oh, yes. That's a good girl.
The lashings stop, and the painful pressure of the tentacles lessens. The phallus is removed from your mouth, leaving you gasping and coughing on your own spit.
Time for the final bid.
The tentacles pull you upright again and spread your legs wide. The snake charmer walks around between them and runs her index finger lightly over your sore, reddened womanhood.
Who wants to claim this little hole of hers?
The bids begin flashing madly.
Oh, such enthusiasm. Come now, boys, be civil. This may be premium living flesh, but there's no sense getting nasty towards each other over it.
This is getting almost nowhere, my love. I'm growing impatient.
All of the figures drop from the bidding but three. The blue, the yellow, and the green. They continue passionately. Their bids come through almost in tandem, and it is clear that they are neck and neck. After several bursts with no clear winner, they begin to crescendo, when finally, the snake charmer interrupts.
It seems we are at an impasse. If I might make a suggestion, my exalted ones.
The figures look back and forth to one another, and then nod in unison.
I propose a compromise. I will collect payment from each of you in equal parts from the last bid, and you may stake equal claim. How does that sound?
The other figures shift in irritation and protest, but the three rivals nod in unison again.
We will start with your bid first, my lord.
She points towards the figure who had been emanating the yellow symbols, and a new phallic tentacle appears near your pussy. This one is thick, with a bulbous tip. There are tiny, soft spikes protruding from around the head, and it is leaking pre-cum profusely. It starts to grind against you softly.
She's radiating heat. I must admit, I felt bad for the harsh lashing I had to give her at first. But after seeing
yes, my love. This little masochist has been quite the treat. Now, darling, fuck her. I want to see you split her open.
Your wish is my command, my love.
The phallic appendage slithers inside and gently begins probing your depths. The texture of the ridges create an incredible sensation. Never before have you experienced such tactful and pleasurable penetration. It undulates, putting pressure in all the right places.
Oh, I can feel her building again already. Do you want to come again, child?
Does my lover's cock please you? Does his form arouse you when it should abhor you? What a depraved little thing you are. Perhaps I should help her along.
The snake charmer begins tonguing your clit. It begins oozing out from around his phallus as he continues to rhythmically slide in and out of you. His cum flows out in thick, heavy streams, and you can hear it drip loudly onto the floor, making little opaque pools against the glossy black stone.
What a good little girl you are.
Before you can recover, she points towards the figure who was emanating the blue symbols.
Now, for your bid, my lord.
The phallus is removed from your pussy, and two of the tendrils that had been used as whips insert slowly to spread your ass, making way for the phallus, still covered in your collective cum. As it thrusts inside of your ass, the phallus at your mouth does as well. The snake charmer begins rubbing vigorously at your clit.
It's brave little girl being taken care of by a snake charmer and her lover for all to see.
You feel both tentacles lurch and start pumping you full of cum from both ends. Your insides start to feel full and warm as you feel it traveling into your stomach and rectum. She regards the thin figure.
And now, last but not least,
you feel two of the tendrils that had been used as whips earlier start probing your ass roughly. The slickness of your juices and the serpent's cum let them slide their way in with ease, and they begin a sort of corkscrew motion. Your eyes roll back, and then, to your surprise, a second phallus appears at your entrance and starts attempting to make its way inside. You grunt in protest around the tentacle in your mouth, but to no avail. The second tentacle slides inside. With all your holes now thoroughly invaded, they begin to pump in and out, hard and deep. You can feel them reaching deeper than you ever knew was possible, and you feel as if you're going to be split in two.
There you go, child. Come for us. Let us see your body convulse with pleasure. Come for us. Come with us. Come with us. Come with us.
The tentacles all swell and then burst. Cum erupts out of all of your holes as they pump hard. Uraeus guides you down slowly, placing you delicately on the ground, surrounded by a pool of cum with your head resting on the snake charmer's lap. She strokes your hair affectionately.
You did well, child. Now, away with you all. Our star needs her rest.
She waves her hand and the scene dissolves. The dark chamber, the torches, and the shrouded figures are gone, and you find yourself basking in the soft glow of candlelight and submerged in a large, warm bath. The snake charmer now cradling your head against her bare breasts. Uraeus, now the size and shape of a normal snake, is hanging loosely around her neck. The scent of lilies radiates from the water. The snake charmer begins washing your body soothingly.
I must say, I am impressed. Not many could take Uraeus like that and live to tell the tale.
Yes, very well indeed. I'm curious to see what our master has in store for. That is, if she...
Uraeus! Fret not, child. Think not of things to come.
Yes, child. Tonight you will rest under our protection.
Now sleep. Rest your worrisome head.
You lay your head back on the snake charmer's breast. As she continues to wash your body dotingly, you find yourself wishing you could stay with the snake charmer forever, but knowing deep down you must see this journey through, whether you want to or not. Your eyes begin to grow heavy, and you slowly descend into a peaceful sleep. You dream happy dreams of summer vacations and first loves.
Right.